Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're actually going to try to end so that you can get to your next shiur. That's not going to be simple, and I may have to do something that I'm not at all accustomed to, which is speak quickly, but I'll try to make it with a microphone. It tends to be better, so they tell me. Let's get right to our topic. It is a topic that has to do with Purim, has to do with women, men, just about everyone, purposely so. And I want to lay out for you a machlokes rishonim, a not unknown machloket, between essentially Rashi and his grandson Rashbam on the one side, Tosfos on the other side. We know a machlokes. I'm going to try to extend it to sort of go in discovery in search of a new shita within the Balei HaTosfot, the third position. I'll show you how to document that. And then for a little razzle-dazzle at the end, Rabbi Brand was kind enough to talk about all of our Stern students. We have some Rebel students too, men and women. We're going to put it all together in terms of learning and scholarship. And I think we'll find, and I hope we'll find, to me not surprisingly, that the scholarship will actually complement and perhaps in some ways even supplement the learning. So there's a lot to do. I hope there's something for everyone. We will also be mekayeim in one aspect, really Lud Parash Bal Peh. My fault, one of the Myron McComos didn't translate from my instructions to the sheet, but I will read it to you, Baal Peh, and you'll hear it, and we'll be fine. So let's get right into it. We can go right to source number one, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kufches Amud Beis, Omar Rival, which is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, very interesting figure who has a lot to do with Purim. Is he a late Tana or an early Amora? The answer is yes. Amr Bishu ben Levi, Yoshim Chayovim Bedalat Kosos, Sha'afim Hayubos Hanes. Women are obligated in the four cups of wine at the Seder. Very interesting phrase, very nuanced phrase. Sha'afim Hayubos Hanes. They were part of the miracle, but the af suggests they were even also. So we're getting two readings here, in a sense, from the very text of the Gemara itself. And then you have a whole discussion about the Dalet Kosos, which actually we don't need right now, but it's very interesting. What's more important for us to note right now is that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi makes his point in three cases, and he's making a very important point. Why would we have thought that women are not obligated in the Dalet Kosos? Why not? Because after all, it's a mitzvah taseh shazman ramah, it's a time-caused positive mitzvah, which is rabbinically indicated. It's not like matzah, whoever doesn't eat chametz must eat matzah, men and women. Arba kosos is a mitzvah saseh, with no negative. Women are not obligated in Torah mitzvot that are time caused. Therefore, since we have a principle, a very strong principle, kol ma detikun rabbonon ke'enda, right? Detikun, whatever the rabbonon instituted, they follow Torah rules, women should have been exempt from the Dalet Kosos, the four cups. Forget that it would look strange, forget that it would look peculiar. It's not about looks, it's about learning. Technically, they should have been exempt. And again, in source number four, the Tosfot on Kufet Amibet Musachim makes this point very clearly. Ilav Haitama, if not for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's inclusionary idea, Lo Hayu Chayavos Mishum Dinashim Peturos Mitzvah Saseh Shasman Grama, Afal Gav Darbav Kosos Derabonon, Ke'endo Raisa Tikun. So Tosfos sets us up very nicely. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, this late Tana, early Amora, is showing that this mitzvah derabbanan of Arba Kosos nonetheless applies to women as well. And in two other places in Shas, famously, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi makes this same very same point about two other mitzvahs. Women are also obligated in Megillah Daf Dalet, hearing the reading of the Megillah on Purim. Again, it's a mitzvah derabbanan, even if we'll call it mitzvah sofrim, although there are distinctions. Nonetheless, one might have thought that women should be exempt from that time-caused positive mitzvah. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, clearly Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi here had a vision, a halachic vision about where women fit in. Chayavos because of afhein hoyu ba'oso hanes. And the third example, Shabbos daf chaf gimel, we have some of these things on the Maran Makomos. Here you have Rashi, we'll see it in minute number six. Women are obligated in the lighting of Hanukkah candles, whether they light, whether someone else lights for them, but they are obligated in that mitzvah derabbanan, which is time relegated and time caused, af hein hayu ba'oso hanes. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi has said a very big chiddush, in effect, but it's a very cogent one, as we'll see in a moment. Just for the record, Rabbi Shimon Levi on Megillah Daf Dalet is also the one who says we read the Megillah day and night. Rabbi Shimon Levi on Purim is anaki, he's giant, he's a real knacker on Purim, and on many, many other things as well. Again, somebody's actually written an intellectual biography about him, but it really needs some more work too. What is the reason? What is this phrase? What is this concept of Afhin Ayuba Osel Hanes that Rabbi Shimon Levi has put forward? So here we have a famous machlokes. I'll show it to you in our texts. Rashi Rashbam on the one side, among others, and Tosfos on the other side. And let me explain. There are two possible ways to go. The way that Rashi and Rashbam go is that in each one of these cases, Purim, Pesach, Hanukkah, there were women who played what I'll call, it's my term, a starring role, a seminal, significant starring role in these occasions. Right? Esther is a star in terms of the Yeshua and bringing about, helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to bring about the Nes of Purim. Esther plays a starring role. On Pesach Arba Kosos, all women, all Jewish women, played a starring role. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Aleph, Noshim Tzidkonios, right? The women in Egypt were the ones who kept Jewish family life going properly under very, very difficult circumstances, among other things. Again, a starring, a vital role in helping the deliverance of the Jews from Mitzrayim in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel did it. And similarly, in Hanukkah, less known and more difficult to attest in terms of certain sources, but nonetheless, we have Chazal telling us, and it's Midrashim, and Yishonim pick it up, and they try to date it and sort of place it. Yehudis, we even know her name. There was a righteous woman named Yehudis, who in the pre-Hanukkah period, in the Hellenistic period, Liboyel Latafsar Tchila, women before their marriage and otherwise were raped by certain officials. There's a very excellent Greek word for this, which I suspect I can call some people as always to tell me, but we'll wait for that later. In any case, that gzeirah was stopped, in effect, by a woman named Yehudis, who, as I like to say, did a Yael. What Yael did to Sisra, she did to her enemy in that sense, and that was seen again. It's the old principle, God helps those who help themselves. It's a Jewish principle. That action by this devoted Jewish woman really began or indicated that there were devoted Jews. Before Yehudah, there was Yehudis. And again, there are all kinds of other textual and literary connections that we won't make now, but this again shows a central role played by a woman in bringing about these Hatzalot, these salvations by HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Levi, according to Rashi Rashbam, says quite cogently, where women play a starring role, the mitzvos that commemorate those salvations must be done by the women as well. Zecher l'Esther, Zecher l'Yehudis, Zecher l'Noshim Tzidkonios, women are really in these mitzvos. That's Rashi Rashbam. You can see that in number 2 and number 3. Afhin hayu ba'osav hanes, kida'amrinon in Gemara and Sota, b'shar noshim tzidkonio sheba'osav hador negalu. It was their merit that caused the redemption. Chein gabe mikro megil, nami amrinon hochi mishum daladei Esther negalu, v'chein gabe ner chanak of Masechet Shabbos. Here Rashi doesn't say much, but in his comment in number 6 in Masechet Shabbos, he says exactly what he means. Shigazru Yevanim al kol b'sulos hanisuos libay letafsar tchila va'aldei isha, who he doesn't name, na'asaneis. And number 3, Rashbam, again back in Psachim, essentially reviews Rashi's point. Arvei Psachim, as we know, is one place where Rashbam parallels Rashi. Question whether Rashi is an earlier edition or in a complete edition, probably not, but we have the benefit of Rashbam on that page as well. And Rashbam in number 3 also tells us that the Makor, the ultimate source or the earlier source for his and Rashi's approach here, right, Chen Gabi Mikra Megillah Amar Hachi Mishimal De Esther Hava, Chen Gabi Chanukah Masechet Shabbos, Lishon Moreinu Halevi. Rashi had several rebbeim in Germany in the pre-Crusade period. One of them was named Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi. It's sort of his second rebbe. Apparently, he's the one who gave this interpretation to Rashi. whether Rashbam heard it from Rashi, or whether Rashbam heard it from his father, Rabbi Meir, who also learned in Worms in the pre-Crusade period. Either way, they know their Rebbe's interpretation, and again, that's amplified even more in the Shita Mekubetzes in Maseches Erchin, cited number 5. So that's the Mahalech, let's call that, I'm going to call that, for lack of a better term, the activist approach. Because women had a very active approach and laudatory approach in bringing about the salvations of Purim, Pesach, Hanukkah, therefore they are obligated by the Rabbonon in special mitzvos that were instituted by the Rabbonon for those occasions. Good. One very important shita down. The second approach is a little bit the Tarush about Pan. Again, it's my fault. On Pesachim Daf Kuf Chesem and Beis, the first two Tosfot start the same way. The first one is the one that you have here in number 4. But the money Tosfot for this shiur is the second Tosfot there. And I will read it to you. It's not very long, but listen carefully. Before we even read it, what's bothering Tosfot, what is Tosfot's job? And we'll see they're related to Rashi and Rashbam. Rabbi Natan is involved here. They're all one family. Their job is to read critically and then compare. But critical meaning, critical reading means, what does this phrase Afhein Hayu Ba'Oso HaNeis mean? If Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had said Shehein Hayu Ba'Oto HaNeis, they were big in these mitzvot, in these occasions, Rashi and Rashbam would be 1,000% correct. But there's one word in Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's memra that casts some question. That little first word, that three-letter word. It's a clean word, three-letter word, right? She'af. She'af hein hayu. They were also there. They were even there. Esther wasn't also there. She was there. And Nashim Tzidkanios and Yehudis, they were there. So says Tosfos, listen carefully, to Rashi Ba'al-Peh, this you'll get from me, and we can email it to you or something. Pirush Rashbam, first of all, they quote Rashbam, and there's an interesting yedah here that we'll gain. Sha'al Yadam Nigalu, Rashbam learned, they really let off the redemption. V'chein b'megillah al yedei Esther, u'b'chanukah al yedei Yehudis. So we've got Rashbam supplying us with the woman's name from Hanukkah, it's good to know. V'kosha, Tosfos never rests easily. Part of good learning is never resting easily until you have the answer. V'kosha, de'af, mashmash einan ikar. The word af suggests they're not the main reason. They're also there, not pejoratively, but they're part of the story. Part of the story, Esther was the story. Part of the story, right? The ode, now a textual question, as Tosfos does, they scan the entire Talmudic world, Bavli Yerushalmi when they have it, and they want to try to find whatever's relevant. Yerushalmi goris, in the Talmud Yerushalmi version of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's memra in one place, Sha'af hein hayu ba'oso safek. Women were also part of the doubt, meaning they were also part of the challenge. When Haman paid a lot of money to kill the Jewish people, he did not say, as other descendants of Haman and such, however we'll define it, did not say, we want the men destroyed, the women can go ahead. That wasn't the case. The selection was everyone. Sex didn't matter. That didn't matter what gender. V'odi b'rushalmi goresh shafim ha'yubosu safek mashma, says Tosfot, ba'utas sakana. Safek doesn't mean we're not sure what's going to be, just it means the same danger to la'hashmid la'harod la'beit, as the pasuk in the Megillah says. Es kol ha'yehudim. There were no exemptions. And therefore, says Tosfos, and that's where they stop. They've only asked a question on themselves, but they've now given us, they've telegraphed to us a very important second interpretation. Why are women obligated in the 4 cups of wine in the Megillah reading and in lighting Neros Hanukkah? Because since they were possibly going to be, God forbid, killed, and they were equally saved, and that's what it means, off. Not that saving women is less important. I can see the headlines now. He said, no. They are part of the group of the Jewish people. Men are always chayav in these mitzvot, asei shazman grama, whether they're rice, they're rabbonon. Women typically aren't. Here they must be, because these are quote-unquote salvational mitzvot, and the salvation of the women was as significant and was part of the larger picture as was the salvation of the men. So these words don't work so well, but I'll use them just for pedagogic purposes. If Rashi and Rashbam are suggesting an activist pshat, Esther, Yehudis, righteous women, and that's why women must do these mitzvos, Tosfos is suggesting, I don't want to say the word passive, but an inclusionary pshat. It's true. Does Tosfos not think that Esther had a starring role? 100%. Tosfos' point is, we don't do mitzvos based on starring roles. We do mitzvos based on who is affected. And Tosfos says, the Af gives us our point, the Yerushalmi gives us our point, and therefore, we will include women because they were all part of the potential destruction and death, God forbid, in all of these cases. Right? Now, you'll tell me you like Rashi better, you like Tosfos better, but as I always like to say, if one position is 100% right, there's no machlokes Rishonim. Rishonim don't argue for fun. If one opinion has it 100%, nothing to argue about. Dirat stadim lekanu lekan, what Rashi and Rashbam might say, look, a starring role is a starring role. And that's what attracts our attention. So this is our machlokes. And again, this machlokes is not unknown. So far, everything I've told you is right here. It's Tarashi Bechtav on our sheet, but that's my fault. Okay. Now, Tosfot, though, being intellectually always very honest, asks a question against themselves. And you'll see, it's not a question against Rashi or Rashbam, it's a question against Tosfos. I've got to read you one more line from this Tosfos, and then everything else will be right in front of you. Asks Tosfos, V'hada amrinun de pturos misura. So Tosfos says, we have to consider the logical direction of our interpretation. According to Rashi, that you need an activist woman to obligate women. If I ask, well, maybe women should be obligated in sukkah. That's what we call in very technical academia, no soap radio. It doesn't make any sense. How are you going to obligate women in sukkah? Where's the starring woman? There was not one woman who was busy, you know, catering the sukkahs. There was no such thing. Right? So according to Rashi and Rashbam, the question doesn't even get off the ground. But according to us, says Tosfos, we who just said it's participation that counts, it's being in the moment that counts, and being saved that counts. You know, when the Jews went in the Midbar, we don't have any indication that the men went in the sukkahs and the women went along in cars alongside, right? Whether it's Anoni HaKavod or Sukkos Mamish, the women were just as exposed to the elements and to the conditions of the Midbar as the men. So according to Rashi, that women's activism is the special machayev. No question why women would not be obligated because of afing ha'imbosanes. Forget whether the way poskim say teishu kentaduru, it's appropriate for women to sit in the sukkah because they're part of the family and so on and so forth. But it's an obligation midarabonim mishum afing ha'yu. For Rashi, doesn't get off the ground Rashban. But for Tosfos, that's good kashya. They ask honest questions, right? Women are part of the sukkah experience, the salvation of the sukkos in the midbar, however you'll define the sukkos. Very good question. We should obligate women to sit in the sukkah, to obligate them. You know, no exemptions, to obligate them. So Tosfos here gives what I don't want to, again, I'm being taped here, I don't want to call it a cheap answer, but it's a technical answer. It's 100% correct, but it's no fun. The answer that they give is, I mean, it's wonderful, but it's, you know, the answer they give is, listen, it's a simple answer, we're safe. Hosam ba'aseh da'oraisa. Sukkah is a mitzvah in HaTorah. Avol be'arboa, kosus de'rabbonon, tiknu gamu nashim, kevon shayu bosa ha'nes. What Tosfos is answering essentially is not simply d'oraisa d'rabbon. They're giving a very important reason. Mitzvos d'oraisa don't need Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi or any other Tana or Amora to recruit for them. Mitzvos d'oraisa are obligatory on those upon whom the obligation devolves, api dinei Torah, and that's it. We don't extend mitzvos d'oraisa. Mitzvos de Rabbanon, there's a principle for this. Chachamim also chizuk l'divrayim. When it comes to mitzvos de Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, I don't mean to make it sound like an admissions drive, but they're allowed to recruit. They're encouraged to recruit people to mitzvos de Rabbanon, to be machazek those mitzvos. D'oraisa doesn't need chizukim. They don't need any strengthenings. Who's ever chayiv d'oraisa is chayiv. You have to know, but who's ever potter is potter. So this kind of a wonderful svara, as wonderful as it is, doesn't work in Daraisas. It's not necessary in Torah or Sukkahs and Mitzvah HaTorah. And therefore, even though technically, says Tosus, according to our reasoning, women might well be obligated in Sukkah, there's a technical point here. You don't extend mitzvos d'oraisa in this way. Mitzvos min ha-Torah are not extended this way, while mitzvos d'rabbanan certainly are. And if you take a look, I don't have time to read it now, but Rabbi Yosef Engel in number 7, essentially, Rabbi Yosef Engel, who died in the early 20th century, essentially makes this point in a parallel Tosus that we'll get to shortly. So that's the answer of Tosus. So again, to sum up, we have our well-known Machlok Rishonim. I hope we have it down nicely, despite the part that's Baal Peh. We have Rashi and Rashbam saying that activist women's roles obligate women in mitzvos. By the way, let me ask you now. According to Rashi and Rashbam, if we could find a mitzvah in HaTorah where women had an activist role, maybe they should be obligated. Maybe it might work. Well, we'll think about that. Keep that, keep that cooking back here, right? But according to Tosfos, it's not the activism. The activism is true. Tosfos has not far from been denying Esther and Nashim, not at all. According to Tosfos, it's the fact that women were also challenged by the Sfeikot, the Sakanot, the Lahashmid, Laharog, Labeid, and therefore, to give gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shvach L'Kel Borei Olam, they must participate in these mitzvot d'rabbanan. Af hin hayu ba'oso hanes, af hin hayu ba'oso hasafek hasakana. Good. There is, I forgot in my introduction to mention, we'll also do a little bit, can't come to yeshiva and not do any brisket Torah, so we're going to do a little brisket Torah here too before we get to some other razzle-dazzle. There is another teretz, another explanation to the Tosus question, which, it's interesting, I thought I heard it from the Rav in the name of his father, Moshe Soloveitchik. It is, however, and in fact, at that time, I won't mention who, so you shouldn't get concerned. I went to one of our Rashi Yeshivas, Zayn Gesund, who's still with us, and he was a student of Ramosha, and I said, Rebbe, did Rashiva ever hear this teretz from Ramosha Soloveitchik? And he thought about it, and he said, I don't remember exactly, but it's good enough, it could have been his. I said, good, Ramosha Soloveitchik, fine. That's how I wrote it. It turns out that years later, when the Igros HaGrid came out, when the Rav's letters to his father, his uncle, his all kinds of great Talmidei Chachamim, it's a wonderful work, came out, it turns out, as pointed out by Rameir Lichtenstein, that this was actually the Rav's own teretz. But that's typical. The Rav used to give great terutzim, and he used to blame his father, his uncle, the futa, the zeta, never his. There are all kinds of svarim published where you have brisker Torah, terutzim attributed to this one, that one, and this one. It's the Rav, but he would never let on. Sometimes they never let on when they published it, but sometimes he would just never let on. Anyway, so apparently this is the Rav's own teretz, but it's so good it could have been Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's too. It's a brisker teretz. The brisker's answer is follows. Again, what's the kasha? The three mitzvos of Dalet Kosos, Mikra Megillah, Neros Chanukah, against Sukkah. Right, so it's Sesame Street. One of these is not like the other, right? Good. So Daraisa Darabonon is a nice teretz. That's true. These three are Darabonon. This is Daraisa. That's Tosus. Said the Soloveitchiks, right? Said by Rebbeim, right? Good. There's another teretz. Anybody want to have a shot at it? This is two of you. You could have a shot at it. Let's play. That's the good thing about brisk is even regular people like us can play brisk and sometimes we get it right. Right? What's different in this case between these three? Chanukah, Purim, Dalet Kosos, and Sukkah. Not that these are the Rabbon and this is the Raisa, but sort of nature of the mitzvos that we're talking about. What's the distinction? Yeah?
Sukkah is just to be in the Sukkah. It's not to make the Sukkah precise. To just be in the Sukkah and function there. By Chanukah and by Arakosos, there's a specific, I'll call it Masa and Mitzvah. It might not be.
So this is called deja vu all over again. Now I get to play the Rav, so to speak. Say it more sharply. Yeah, go. You're right, but say it more sharply. Go.
Those other holidays are celebrated with events that happen. Hanukkah and then what happens. Passover and Hanukkah.
Passover and Hanukkah.
Passover and Hanukkah.
But active passing we already have, and you are right, but again, we're dancing around. Let me go a little further back. They shouldn't just think I'm going on the front row. Go ahead. This nice lady, I know her name actually, but please, yes.
Protective situation, whereas the other three are in the same consumption.
So we'll put all of you together, and there's a phrase. Now we have to think rabbinic phrase that's sort of almost bursting to be said, although yours actually is so sophisticated it'll be a later teretz, but we're going to hold back to yours. Two words in Hebrew. Thank you. Excellent. Several people got it at once. Give them extra kiddush. I'll mention it. Give them extra refreshments between sessions. Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa, which encompasses what many of you are saying, what you said is going to hold off for later too. Namely, there is a special obligation when it comes to Mikra Megillah, which we know very well, right? The public nature of it and so on, many other examples. When it comes to Neros Hanukkah, putting it outside and so on, to publicize the Nes. Interestingly here, this is not such a simple teretz because it works better for two of the Darabans than the third. What about Dalet Kosos? Where do you see a mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa by Dalet Kosos? So we'll do some of the brisker teruts, some good. So let me say, first of all, just by starting to say, according to Rashi and Megillah Daf Hei, if you read the Purim Megillah to yourself on Purim, you still make Shas and Nisa, you still Mekayim Pirsumei Nisa. So Pirsumei Nisa isn't just about crowds. You know, if I have a big Seder, it's Pirsumei Nisa. It's not about crowds. It's about quality of spreading the word, as was said nicely. Right? I'll come to now give you the specifics. We'll talk about the Holocaust. Sukkah, if you put your sukkah in your, if that's where your trees work out, if you put it in your front driveway as opposed to your backyard, more people may notice. There's no fear whatsoever to put it in your front driveway. If you have a better spot for the backyard and nobody sees it, that's also okay. There's absolutely no such fear. The term Pirsumei Nisa is mentioned in Shas twice by Mikra Megillah and Neros Chanukah. Again, we'll extend it now to the Dalet Kosos too by pointing out a couple of things. And here you could look at number 8 on the handout while I sort of mention some of the points here. It's number 8. And just the way the Maror Makomos fell, numbers 13 and 14. The point being made in number 8 by Seder of Amram Gaon and many other Rishonim after him, Amram Gaon is obviously in the Gaonic period, is that how do you know if you have Pirsumei Nisa? If I want to detect Pirsumei Nisa, you know, I get a special machine, a Pirsumei Nisa Geiger counter. How do I detect Pirsumei Nisa? Say if the Gemara says Pirsumei Nisa, I don't need my machine. But if I want to detect Pirsumei Nisa, how do I do it? So one way to do it might be, if it takes a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, then there's probably Pirsumei Nisa. I'm spreading the miracle, I'm talking about the miracle that was, and hopefully the miracles that will be. Right? Mikra Megillah has Sha'asa Nisim. Again, even if somebody's reading it to themselves on Purim Day, right? Neros Chanukah has Sha'asa Nisim. So you'll tell me, not so smart, where's the Sha'asa Nisim for the Dalet Kosos? And the answer is, to quote a famous, I think it was a Ragu commercial, some kind of commercial, it's in there. It's in there, right? Where is it in there? The bracha before the second kos. Good. Asher ge'alanu v'ge'alav ha'zoseinu ha'otziyainu kein yagienu. Right? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the miracles to this point. And we pray that we will reach points of more miracles. That is a not very well disguised version of Sha'asa Nisim. Just to add on, and you'll see this in the Rav Avraham Gaon too, and I can't spend time on this, but just to add on, this is not unrelated to the question of, which I don't know if you ever thought about, we could do some Pesach Torah too very briefly, why don't we make a bracha, why do we make brachos on the Pesach Seder? Make a bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Make a bracha Sha'asa Nisim. So one of the answers is Kol HaMarba HaReza Mishubach. You can't make brachos on unending mitzvos. Not so simple. Good. One of the other answers that we shall give is essentially tautology. You don't make a bracha on a bracha. Right? Benching is a mitzvah in our Torah. We don't make a bracha to bench. Because you're making a bracha on a bracha on a bracha. The same thing for Sha'asa Nisim. If we made a Sha'asa Nisim before the Seder, we're making a bracha on the same bracha. So basically, bottom line, we can certainly find Sha'asa Nisim in the Seder. That's in source number 8. In numbers 13 and 14, this is very clever, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Chanukah that a person has to, so to speak, sell the short shirt off his back to Mocher Ksuso to buy Neros Chanukah and the Chanukah oil and so on. That's a Gemara Masech Shabbos. So the Magid Mishnah here says, the Gemara that is Pirsumei Nisa, but what about the selling the shirt off the back? So the Magid Mishnah says, how does the Rambam know that you have to sell the shirt off your back? You know, what's that expression doing here? That's not in the Gemara. So basically, the Magid Mishnah says the Rambam borrowed it. Where do you find that phrase in the Mishnah Psachim? Having to do with the Arba Kosos. Because of this important mitzvah, Pirsumei Nisa, you must, and it's interesting, certain mitzvahs d'Oraisa don't require this. Again, the Rabbanon need chizuk. You sell the shirt off your back, right? That you're supposed to give the oni from the community chest the appropriate things, but if they don't have it for the Dalit Kosos, you have to sell everything you have for the Dalit Kosos. That's not normally the case in mitzvahs aseh. Mitzvahs lo saseh, give up everything. Not mitzvahs aseh. Dalit Kosos, you have to, because you have to participate. The Rambam borrowed that lingo and that halachic terminology and put it where? Neros Hanukkah. Why? Because says the Magid Mishnah, Dalit Kosos is Pirsumei Nisa, which is why you have to sell the shirt off the back, so you can tell that you're Pirsumei Nisa in terms of your Geiger counter, not just by the Brach of Shas Anisim, but you show me a mitzvah de Rabbanon that you have to sell the shirt off your back, and I'll show you Pirsumei Nisa. So bottom line, the Brisker Teretz works wonderfully. Sukkah has no fee of Pirsumei Nisa, right? Dalit Kosos, Ner Chanukah, and Mikra Megillah all do. And that's how this Teretz would answer Kosos' Kasha. Okay. Now we move and we go in search of, in the time that we have left, a new approach in Rishonim. And it's based on the source in number 9. And essentially, whatever you see underlined, don't read. It's a difficult tshuva. It's not really hard, but there are all kinds of things that come in the middle. Read with me the lines that are not underlined. Heshiv Rabbeinu Tam Lomorin Rav Moshe Mekontiza. The Noshim Chayovos Begimel Seudos. Afal Gav Dahavale Mitzvos Asen Shazman Grama. The Afhin Hayuba Oso Hanes. The Mon the Lecha Mishnah Heechila. The Chayn Chayovos Litzoa Al Beis Kikros. This very briefly telegraphs the following interesting question that was asked of Rabbeinu Tam by his student, Rav Moshe Pontois, one of the Bali Hatosis. Again, in Hebrew we harden it, spelled P-O-N-T-O-I-S-E, so it's Pontiza. He's quoted a number of times in Tosfos. Rav Moshe Pontois asked his Rebbe Rabbeinu Tam, are women, or why are women, I'm going to get in trouble here, chayobos in Shalashudis and in Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos? Why? So the simple answer to that question is, not the one that's given here, the simple answer is, which is not printed for you, but that's fine, the Ran and Klal Gadol says very simply, Zocher v'Shomer, who's ever chayav in the mitzvos lo saseh of Shabbos is chayav in the mitzvos aseh, whether it's Kiddush on a deraisa level, or kibud va'oneg on a derabbanon level, whoever must observe the no-nos of Shabbos must have the clean table, the appropriate Shabbos foods, the lecha mishnah, the shalach, whatever the special mitzvos are of Shabbos, doesn't matter to Arayis de Rabbon. For whatever reason, that's not the way Rabbeinu Tam went here. There's a Divrei Yecheskel that I think I heard from Reshefter many years ago. I think it's Simen Mem Gimel. You'll take a look. It's not the Ma'ar Makomos either. The Divrei Yecheskel explains why Rabbeinu Tam didn't give this teretz, because the Ran actually asks and Klal Gadol doesn't give an answer. Anyway, that's not our discussion right now. Rabbeinu Tam goes a different way. And he says, yes, it's true. Women are obligated both in Lecha Mishnah and Shalashudis for the same reason. Why? Because the word that was inserted here, right? Mon the Lecha Mishnah Hafilon, or Lecha Mishnah Hafilon. When the Jews got double portion for the Shabbos in the Midbar, again, the men didn't get it, and the women, they said, well, you'll eat with your husbands. The women also got it. The same Yeshua of the Lecha Mishnah for the men also apply to the women. Therefore, any mitzvah which is predicated on that, which are both what? Lecha Mishnah and Shalashudis. The Sudash Lishit is also this extra food that was given for Shabbos. Women are equally obligated in that. Right? Now, who would like this teretz very, very much? So, first of all, let's appreciate what Rabbeinu Tam is doing here. Rabbeinu Tam, Kedarko Bakodesh, is playing the part of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I've got a fourth mitzvah derabbanon where women are obligated because of Afhin Hayabos Hanes. 4a and 4b. Lecha Mishnah, Shalashudis. What's the obligation? Mon. They were helped by the Mon too. Right? Would Tosfos like this amendment of Rabbeinu Tam? Again, you don't have the Tosfos in front of you, but the Tosfos from Sukkah, would Tosfos like it? Yes. Why is yes? I see people saying no, but we'll hear from them in a second. Why would Tosfos in Psachim like it? What's that? Not so fancy. You're right, but not so fancy, right? Tosfos says the only time Afein Hayu doesn't work is in a Doraisa. You show me a Derabbanan of Afein Hayu, and you're in. Right? In fact, I might say a little bit cheekily, that Lechem Mishnah and Mun are the Derabbanans of Sukkah Doraisa. These are things that saved the Jews from starvation and from decimation in the Midbar, except that generated the mitzvah Doraisa. Those only generated a chiyuv derabbanan, shalashudas and lechem mishnah. Again, let's be clear, are chiyuvim derabbanan, very strong chiyuv, but chiyuvim derabbanan. So Tosfos would say, Doraisa derabbanan, you're in, yashakalach Rabbeinu Tam. The problem is that the writer of this tshuva doesn't give Rabbeinu Tam such a yashakalach. If you now skip down to v'ta'am rishon, the clear line, v'ta'am rishon shepiresh, Sha'afin hoyu ba'oso hanes, lo yadane I asi shapir. Who's ever writing this tshuva, it appears in the tshuvos of Meir of Rothenburg, who dies in 1293, one of the last of the Bali Hatosis. It certainly could have been him, we'll talk about that, that's part of the scholarship in a minute. Right? According to this reason, lo yadane I asi shapir. I don't know if it's such a great reasoning. Somebody's attacking Rabbeinu Tam, which happens all the time, that's fine. That's how you learn. Right? He says, Mikol makom, go to the clearing, lo shayach tama, what's his problem? Sha'afin hayu, ela hecha da hamitzvah bo'a, watch this line very, very carefully, somebody said it before nicely, al hanes she'ira li Yisrael, shahayu b'sakana, v'nimletu, dumi de megillah, dalet kosos ner Hanukkah. This Chubas Maharam says, I'm not so sure that Rabbeinu Tam has it right. Let's say, I don't like it. Why don't I like the extension? Because Afhein Hoyu is not just a matter of what Doraisa is the Rabbanon. That might or may not be true, but that's not the key. The key is Afhein Hoyu ba'oso ha sakona, hayu ba'sakona v'nimletu. They were in danger and they escaped. Megillah, Dalet Kosos, Ner Hanukkah. So now, in advance Sesame Street, Megillah, Dalet Kosos, Ner Chanukah, Sukkah, Lechem Mishnah, Midbar. What's the difference? What's the difference? In all cases, there was salvation, but...
It's in the case of the first, the ones that are cited, it's B'nai Adam who are attacking Am Yisrael. There's a, I'll call it, organized attack, if you will. And in the Midbar, it was simply the Teva. There was a place where there was no lion. There's snakes, everything. But it's just a bad place to be. But that's because Rabbi told
us. Very nicely said. Very nicely said as follows. In Dalet Kosos, Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, there is a physical human enemy after them. The bullets, so to speak, are being fired. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deflecting the bullets. But the bullets are, they're real bullets. The guns are loaded, God forbid. And the bullets are being deflected, and the enemy goes, and B'nai Yisrael are saved, and that's how it goes. In the Midbar, whatever angst there is, and there is some angst, but it's angst between B'nai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Lechtech Acharai B'Midbar. It's an inside job. And therefore, when it comes to the enemy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved the Jewish people, you see where I'm going here. It's almost like the Brisker Terrace. Pursumei Nisa. You got to advertise. They were after us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along, and now they weren't after us anymore. We won. In the case of Sukkah, that's again, it's a bigger thing. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa Sukkah. It's great. It doesn't matter d'oraisa d'rabbanan. That's the making of the Jewish people by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, this second Terrace in the Maharam suggests that Rabbeinu Tam is mixing apples and oranges. And I would even go so far as to say, and this is tricky, but I'm going to have to telescope it, for this second teretz in the Tshuvas Maharam, it doesn't matter whether it's Doraisa or Derabbanan. It matters by the quality of the salvation or the context of the salvation. If you can show me a mitzvah Doraisa or Hayu B'Sakana V'Nimletu, and that's the key word, they are running, the enemy is pursuing, the bullets are flying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deflecting. That's the model you're looking at. Any such mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanan l'cha'ora would be afhein hayu. Women would be obligated. Show me the Midbar was a great salvation. The Jewish people did great. They survived. They flourished. But simlas chalavos me'alecha, right? The malls were closed. Simlas chalavos me'alecha. No problem, right? They lived great. They survived in a terrible environment. But that was between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, to try to wrap this up and give you some of where we can go with this, I'll show you now that in fact there is an opinion in Tosfos, not in Pesachim, not in the one Baal Peh that you didn't have, but number 10, there is an opinion in Tosfos which seems to say that Afhein Hoyu Baos Vaneis would apply in a mitzvah d'oraisa if it has the quality of Hoyu B'Sakon of Enimletu. Again, it's complicated, but let me read it with you briefly and see what we can do with it. Tosfos Daf Dalet Megillah, Afhein Hoyu Baos Vaneis, Pirush Rashbam, Sheikar Hanes Hayal Yadam, we learned this before, Bepurim Ayidei Esther, Chanuk Ayidei Yehudis, Pesach Shebeschus Sikonu Shebosor Nigalu, V'Kosha, same question, V'Lishon Sha'afhein Mashper Shehein Tfelos. Don't get nervous, Tfelos doesn't mean second class, it means not the main thing, not the central thing. Ula Perusho Hayalomar Lomar Shehein. They were part. Lekach nireli sha'afhein hayu b'safek v'ashmid l'harol v'chein b'pesach sha'yu mishubados l'farov mitzrayim v'chein b'chanukah ha'gzeira ha'yisa ma'od aleihen. The women were really under the gun Chanukah time, and by Matz, and Chanukah as well. Okay. So now Tosfos says, so far all we've had is Tosfos answering in a very similar way as they did in Pesach. But now Tosfos asks, gabe matzah. Yesh makshe. Some ask the question by matzah. Why do we need to obligate women in matzah? By saying that anybody who can't eat chametz must eat matzah, the hekesh that we use. So this is a cute question. Say, the reason that women have to eat matzah Pesach night is because they were saved in Mitzrayim. Sounds good, no? So before I read you the answer here, what would Tosfos Pesachim answer? They would say it's a daraisa, leave me alone. Sounds great, but it's a mitzvah daraisa. We distinguish between daraisas and darabonos, right? Like Rabbeinu Tam. If it's sukkah, we say no. If it's lechem mishnah and shalosh minos, which is darabonon, we say yes. It's a technical issue, whether chizuk l'divrayim, whatever you want to say, it's a technical issue. And in fact, if you look in number 11 in the Hagos Mordechai, which we can't read now for time, but you'll see the Hagos Mordechai says exactly that. He says the reason you can't include sukkah and matzah is because those are mitzvahs daraisa. Look what Tosfos Megillah though answers the end of number 10 here. Two answers. So the first answer is tricky. It says that you could apply the principle of afhein hayu, but if you apply the principle of afhein hayu, this is the opposite of garbage in, garbage out. This is good stuff in, good stuff out. But ein l'chabo yosem echidusha. If I obligate the women because of afhein hayu and matzah, what kind of an obligation will it be? It will only be a chiyuv derabbanon because it's generated by a din derabbanon. So the answer is good try, but the hekesh generates a chiyuv min hatorah. Okay. So does afhein hayu work here? Definite maybe. Look at number two, right? Rabbeinu Yosef Ish Yerushalayim. One of the Balei HaTosfos who made Aliyah, they called him by his new honorific title. Tirates, it's from Yosef Miklison, we know exactly who he is. The Salkadaitach Lemiftirei Migzeira Shavah, the Tesvav, Tesvav, the Chakasukos, Kedipirashtu Perek Elo Ovri. This is a more complicated Tirates, but I think in some ways it's more satisfying for us. He says, basically, Afhein Hoyu would work. And it would work to obligate women in matzah on a technical level. The Da'oraisa issue is not a problem. What is a problem, though, is what I call rabbinic exegetical pecking order. Let me explain. When you have, that's a mouthful, when you have chiyuvim derabbonon, you have to go kefi hased, chiyuvim based on the chachomim, in dinim da'oraisa, mido shatar and reshes bohem. Very complicated. You have to go in order. A hekesh is a number one. If I have a hekesh to obligate someone in something, that trumps all, right? For those of you, you know, some game I once played, Kufure, right? That trumps all. Anyway, good. But now, what happens in sukkah and in matzah? If I take away the hekesh da'oraisa, that whoever eats chametz, can't eat chametz, must eat matzah, up to bat next does not come afhein hayu ba'osu ha'neis. If afhein hayu came next, according to Rabbi Yosef Yerushalayim, wunderbar, it would be great. The chiyuv would be there, it would be on a da'oraisa level, everything would be hunky-dory. But there's a principle in the middle. If a hekesh is not available, I turn next to the venerable Daraisa rule of Gzeira Shava. Compare words in one parsha to another. And here I would get a bad result, so to speak. Because Tesfav, Hamisha Asarv Chodesh Rishon, and Hamisha Asarv Chodesh Shvi, Sukkis, would yield, that would come in next. And what's the result of that application? Women would be exempt from matzah, the same way they're exempt from sukkah. So it's a rules issue. Once that Afein Hayu could come to bat, it would obligate women in matzah without a problem. Daraisa! The problem is, because of these rules, the inning would end before Afein Hayu comes to bat. To use a sports analogy. Good, it's a baseball season. Now, so bottom line, according to this Tosfos, can I apply Afein Hayu in Daraisa situations? Seems to be, as long as I have nothing else blocking it. Now, if you think about it, folks, and we can put these things all together now, these are the two opinions amongst the Balei HaTosfos. We can go for either 2 and 3, or 2a and 2b as follows. Rabbeinu Tam, like the Tosfos in Pesachim Kuf Ches that you don't have on your sheets, holds that the only time you can't apply Afein Hayu is in Daraisis. But you can extend creatively. So Rabbeinu Tam did a Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He came up with a fourth case of Afein Hayu, Mon and Lecha Mishner. The Jews were saved. It's not a Daraisa. We go home early. The Tosfos in Megillah Daf Dalet Omnam holds, like the second approach in Shuvas Maharam, that it's not the Daraisa Derabbanan issue that's the key, but Hayu B'Sakana V'Nimlatu is the key. You show me a context in which the Jewish people were saved by what we'll call, you know, external enemies. It's almost duplicative, right? External enemies. Afein Hayu B'Sakana, can we mechayiv them in any situation? They're giving me a signal. Anyway, just a cover. I got the signal, I'm fine. But so if it's Hayu B'Sakana V'Nimlatu, could even be matzah in theory. It doesn't work technically because of these rules issues, but theoretically it works, right? Sukkah, it doesn't work because sukkah is not how you besakon of it. So forget the raisa, forget the rabbanon. Think about the quality of the salvation, which is a big lesson for Purim, which we'll have to extrapolate a little bit. Okay. To bring it all home, so we've got, so somebody will say, well, wait a second, you're telling us the Tosfos in Pesachim and the Tosfos in Megillah are arguing. That's fine. Tosfos is not a stira, it's a machlokes. And we can show, not now, but we can show that these Tosfos actually came from different Batei Medrash too. So there is a point of difference of view in Tosfos, and that's it. Now, two more points and we end. The first is, can we come up with a nafkamina? First is a learning point and then is a scholarship point. Can we come up with a nafkamina, with a difference, a salient difference, between the two Tosfos approaches, and then I'll show you something cute and I think effective in scholarship. Can we come up with a difference? What that hasn't been discussed, again, between Tosfos, Pesachim, Kuf Ches, and Abayis, see a good old-fashioned blackboard would be good, Tosfos, Pesachim, Kuf Ches, and Abayis, and Rabbeinu Tam, that it's a matter of Daraisa de Rabbanan, Tosfos, Megillah, Daf Dalet, and the second answer in Maharami Wittenberg, that it's not a matter of Daraisa de Rabbanan, it's a matter of the quality of the salvation, the nature of the salvation, which we now understand what we mean. Come up with, audience gets a second to think about it, come up with a nafkamina, where one of these Tosfot would say, yes to Afein Hayu, and the other would say, no, absolutely not. Anybody? I've confused you all. Yes, no? So somebody might say, Milchemes Amalek, the women have to participate in Milchemes Amalek. Right? Tosfos in Megillah, and the Maharam second part would say, maybe Afein Hayu Bosa Sakana, right? They were also saved, right? And Tosfos in Pesachim Rabbeinu Tam would say, sorry, we'd love to put women into the game, but Zechiras Amalek, it's a mitzvah deraisa. My problem there is we got some technical problems. And you have it, I can give you Maror Makomos from the Chinuch and the Minfas Chinuch. Are women benos milchoma? There's also a lo sase, lo tishkach. So Milchemes Amalek is a very tricky, or Zechiras Amalek is a very tricky mitzvah sase. But I'll give you one from Pesach, and you got to think very trickily here. Are women obligated in Haggadah on Pesach? In reciting and discussing the Haggadah, right? Assuming the position of the Rambam and the Chinuch, that the Haggadah is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night is a mitzvah min HaTorah. And that it's not connected to matzo moro. In other words, it's a clinical and nafka mina laboratory. You can isolate whatever factors you want, right? So isolate everything else away. Just the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, if it's a daraisa according to Shitz HaRam V'Achinuch, which is fair to do in a nafka mina land. And now we ask this question to the various shitos. So what would Tosfos Pesachim Rabbeinu Tam say? Can you obligate women in Haggadah because of Afin Hoyu Ba'osu Hanes, assuming it's daraisa? No, because it's daraisa. Leave me alone, please. Thank you. Good. What would Maharam Tosfos Megillah Daf Dalet say? Sure. Why? Hayu b'sakana v'nimlatu. Haggadah was not that they were sitting in the Egypt in the Hilton there having a fine time and God took them out. Hayu b'sakana v'nimlatu. Give out. Women have to participate. That would be a nice nafkamina. By the way, interestingly, throw a curveball question, what would Rashi Rashbam say? Women were still active in Mitzrayim, absolutely. So it turns out 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right? It turns out that Rashi would say that way, they are obligated. Our new Tosfos, our new sheet, I hope you've appreciated, folks, it's almost done, that we've gone in search of a new sheet in Rishonim, we found it, right? This second Tosfos sheet, 2A, 2B, 3, however you want to call it, right, well, 2B or 3, will say that women are obligated, yes? And the fact that it's deraisa doesn't bother them at all. The only ones who would not would be Rabbeinu Tam. They'd be saying, hey, come on, it's a deraisa. Deraisas don't work this way. Okay. Just to close with a cute point of scholarship, and I think it's an effective one, though, look at number 15, the bottom line. We have a psukim of the... The question is, technically, who says this new shita? So we have Rabbi Yosef Yishu Shalayim and Tosfos Megillah Daf Dalet. That's good enough for me. But if we want to go a little further on this, it appears in the Tshuva Maharam Rutenberg, someone's recently pointed out that a lot of Maharam's Tshuvas that are unsigned were not written by him. They're earlier Tshuvas. So we'd like to know, Miso Verkach, can we put a name on it? Turns out that we can. It turns out that there's a manuscript of Piskei Hari. It should be Ktavyat either Cambridge without the Yud or Cambridge with 2 Yuds, but that's my fault again. A Cambridge manuscript has legal decisions of Ri. Ri is Rabbeinu Tam's nephew, Rashi's great-grandson. And look what he says there. Again, I found this just sort of almost felicitously. Look what he says. So this is the Ri. V'nira delo shayach ta'ama da'afhein hoyu ba'osu ha'nes, ela sha'al yedei ha'nes bo'o ha'mitzvah. Kigon b'mikra megillah shekulam hayu b'sakana u'b'chanukah b'nimlatu. There's something about Chanukah u'b'dalet kosos. Again, not in the Bar Ilan edition. I have a gear here. I don't know how it was done, but u'b'dalet kosos u'b'hagada. According to the Ri, you can obligate women in mikra megillah, Chanukah, dalet kosos, and hagada. Because of Afhein Hoyu, and what's Afhein Hoyu about? Shekulam Hoyu b'sakana v'nimlatu. So it turns out that this last line in Tshuvas Maharami Rutenberg is not the late 13th century Maharam, it's Rashi's great-grandson, Rabbeinu Tam's nephew. So the machlokes here between Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos Pesachim Kuf Ches and Megillah and Rabbi Yosef Yishur Shalayim is really between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. The record will show that Rabbi Yosef Yishur Shalayim was Ri's Talmud. And so what we have here is, to conclude, a tremendous machlokes, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Ri, grandfather, grandson, great-grandson. Rashi holds activism. Rabbeinu Tam holds afhein hoyu, but not in daraisas, sukkah not, shalashudas and so on, yes. And the Ri holds, like Tosfos Megillah Daf Dalet, that it can even work in a daraisa context. The key is not the halachic valence, the key is the interpretation of the Hatzalah. Hayu b'sakana v'nimlatu, we say afin hayu. I'm over, thank you very much.